day? Will I merely be a hearer of God's truth? Or will I listen attentively, take to heart what I hear, and be transformed in my thinking so that I can fulfill God's complete plan for my life? Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come. God, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that will open our eyes, open our ears to hear what the head of the church is saying to his body. That the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened so that we will not fail to see what you see, fail to perceive what you understand, fail to live beneath your purposes and plans for us. Speak to our hearts today. In the name of Jesus, amen. It is often said that those who do not learn from the mistakes of the past are condemned to repeat them in the future. That adage is shortened to succinctly say, history always repeats itself. And history does indeed always repeat itself. It's what we see in Scripture. Let's go back to something that we established a few weeks ago. God's purpose for Israel. The mission and desire of God's heart was to raise up one nation whose testimony would have an impact on all the other nations of the earth. One nation that would reveal the truth of the one and only God to every other nation. God gave all of his laws to one nation. God gave the way to approach him in worship and in reconciliation to one nation. God gave all of his truth, all of his revelation, all of his understanding to one nation. One nation held all of the understanding about knowing the true God. He had no other nation to be a testimony or a witness. That was God's purpose for Israel. You and I live in the new covenant era. God's purpose for us is still the same as it was for Israel. Like Israel of the old covenant, the church of the new covenant is the sole and singular representative of God to the nations. No other group of people except for the church of Jesus Christ has the truth about knowing God and being reconciled to him. He has entrusted it completely to us. That means that you and I are called to be a distinct and set apart people who reflect God's heart of sacrificial love and holy character. How many of you have ever said to your children, no, we don't do that because we are Odalatus? Or we don't do that, not in the Kalu family. We don't live that way, we don't talk like that. In the same way, in God's family, we are to maintain an identity, one that is holy, one that is set apart, one that reflects the truth of who he is, his character to the world. We have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been sent to reconcile the world to God through Christ. It will not be reconciled by any other means than the church proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been empowered to destroy the works of the enemy and lead people out of darkness into the light of the knowledge of Christ. We have been commanded to go to every person in every tribe and language and nation, forming them into obedient followers of Jesus Christ. And we have been called to warn the world of the coming day of the Lord. The end of human history and the final judgment of all humanity. That day is fixed. It is already on God's calendar. The day of the end of human history. And like the Apostle Paul said to the Romans, that day is closer now than when you and I first believed. And when you and I look around us and see everything that is happening in this world, and how it lines up with what Jesus said in Matthew 24, a passage that we studied when we were in Revelation, where Jesus said, when you see these things beginning to happen, look up, your redemption is drawing near. This is the beginning of the end. And if the coming day of the Lord is closer now than when you and I first believed, are we living differently now than when we first believed? As the writer to Hebrews says, more and more as you see the day approaching. I pray that we are not blind to the day approaching. Amen. And thus not living as we should be living in light of the return of Christ. This is crucial because at risk is the testimony of God's glory among the nations, the eternal destiny of human souls, and whether or not you and I will be validated by the Lord Jesus Christ as having been faithful servants or condemned because we have been unfaithful in His business. Are we endeavoring to fulfill the heart of God who so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son? Or are we neglecting the heart of God that loves everyone in the world? History repeats itself. We find this in the book of Judges. The statement, again, the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord, occurs seven times in the book of Judges. As you and I continue to read the Kings, Samuel, Chronicles, we find that statement appearing many more times. And Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. With few exceptions, that became the duplicated pattern of generation after generation after generation. Israel's history became a recurring cycle of failure and deliverance, idolatry, repentance. But listen, never, however, did they return to the mission and the purpose for which God had chosen them, a testimony to the nations. This cycle that we see in the book of Judges, again, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, would continue for the next 600 years until God said, enough. Jerusalem was destroyed, and the worst of the curses that Moses had prophesied in Deuteronomy 28 were fulfilled. And the people were uprooted and cast out of their land. God had warned them, if you don't do what I am commanding you to do, the land will vomit you out. And that's exactly what happened. 200 years later, God would speak through the prophet Malachi and warn the people of the messenger that was coming and the preparation that they needed to make for the day of the Lord. 400 years later, It arrived in the form of John the Baptist, the forerunner, who came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," followed by the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world, whose message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But once again, Israel did not have ears to hear. And as Jesus approached Jerusalem, on the Mount of Olives, he looked over the city and wept. Only if you would have known that this was the day when your salvation came, but you were blind to it and you missed it. And now the day is coming when everyone within this city will be killed and every stone will be pulled down and there will be nothing left, because you missed the day that God intended for you, the day of your salvation. 35 years later, that is what happened. Fulfilling the words of Jesus, the Roman army built an embankment against Jerusalem, breached the walls that everyone thought would be impregnable. And when it was all said and done, Jerusalem had been utterly destroyed and more than 1 million people had been killed. There was nothing left. History had again repeated itself. Everything about Israel's history is important for us to know. It is not irrelevant history. It is critical that you and I know it, because it represents a greater spiritual reality. Understand this when you read the Old Testament. Everything that is taking place there represents a greater spiritual reality. We've been on a wonderful study in Sunday school concerning the tabernacle, the sacrifices, everything which reveals the depravity of human nature, the necessity of atonement for reconciliation, and the work of Jesus Christ, greater spiritual realities. And so the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea," referring to the visible cloud of God's presence that led the people and the Red Sea through which the people passed. "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as what? Warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come." So then Paul delivered his own warning. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. They saw, he says in the intervening verses, they saw with their own eyes. They tasted with their own mouths. They experienced it with all of their senses, and yet they missed the will of God for their lives. So be warned. That's how easy it can happen. Pay attention. And be careful so that you don't fall. I want to draw just a few parallels between Israel in Judges and the church. Thus the title for this study, "The Church According to Judges." How is the church like Israel when we look at all that has happened in the book of Judges? Like Israel, we have forsaken our covenant position as holy and set apart people of God. We are no longer passionately devoted to the commands of God. Would you say that's true or false about the church today? Jesus declared that in the last days, the love of most would grow cold, and that there would be a great falling away. You see, just because we come and sit in the pew on Sunday morning does not mean that we are walking in the place that we need to be. Jesus came to seven churches in the book of Revelation who were there on Sunday morning and sang the songs in worship. And yet the five of them, he said, repent, because you are in grave and mortal spiritual danger. Friends, there is no guarantee. Just because you and I do the right things, say the right things, believe the right things. Remember, Israel saw and experienced. The question is, are we passionately devoted to fulfilling the commands of God? In Judges chapter 1 and verse 31, yet Israel did not listen. How quickly they turned away from the path of their ancestors who had walked in obedience to the Lord's commands. How quickly. Never take for granted. That's why the Apostle Paul said, be careful, even if you think you are standing firm. Taking the wrong turn may be just around the corner. A spiritual influence to overtake your heart. A deception of the adversary to set your affections and your ambitions on something that is not God's will for you. We need to make sure that we are endeavoring with all of our hearts to live as God's set apart people. Amen. That nothing about us, nothing about our plans, what we do with our time, resembles the unbeliever that lives next door. Our hearts and our minds, as Paul wrote to the Colossians, are set on things above, where Christ is. Secondly, like Israel, we have relaxed our spiritual posture. We're no longer in fight mode for the purposes of God. We've lost interest in fulfilling God's heart and will. What did we read a couple of weeks ago as we read through some of these chapters? We read how different tribes moved in among the Canaanites who controlled the land, for they had failed to drive them out. You and I as believers cannot afford to stop fighting. We cannot afford to stop contending for the purposes of God in our own lives, in the lives of our families, and in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not here to be comfortable in this world. We are here to fight. Amen. The moment that we stop fighting is the moment that we start backsliding. The moment that we stop fighting is the moment that we start deviating from the plans and the will of God for us. We are called to fight the good fight of faith. We are called to contend for the purposes of God among the nations. We are called to stand against the tide of what we see happening in our society. But those warriors, like the men of Asher, once they got their house, they stopped fighting. And so their children never learned that they needed to fight. And it wasn't long before their children turned away from the Lord. Then arose another generation, we read, who did not know the Lord or the miraculous things he had done. Thirdly, like Israel, we have failed to raise our children to be adept at spiritual warfare and devoted to conquering the nations. When your family goes to prayer, do your children know how to war in the spirit for the purposes of God? Do they know how to contend, speaking scripture To do as the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 6, wrestle against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, contending for the purposes of God. Do they know how to do so on behalf of people who don't know Jesus Christ? Parents, are you imparting to them an understanding that we must fight the good fight of faith, or we fail as the Church of Jesus Christ? Like Israel and like these tribes, the ambition for personal success has replaced the mission to conquer. I need to obtain certain goals. My children need to accomplish this or that. What about the mission that Christ has given us? Amen. Like Israel, we have forfeited the power of the Spirit intended to make us a triumphant witness among those who reject Christ. Jesus said this, all of you love to give good gifts to your children. I do. How about you? Who of you does not like to give a good gift to your children? No, we all do. That's instinctive as fathers and mothers. And Jesus said, you feel that way even though you are evil. He said, how much more your Father in heaven wants to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Amen. The greatest, most wonderful, and most essential gift that you can give to your children is to ask the Father to fill them with His Holy Spirit. How many of you prayed that over your children this week? How many of you as parents were in your closet crying out to God and saying, God, I don't care if they fail in every other way. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them, because nothing else counts if they do not have your Spirit. And fifthly, like Israel, we have become devotees of what I call the Luciferian doctrine of individualism. Remember Lucifer? He said, I will. I will. When he came to Eve in the garden, he said, you can. Oh, but God said, no. Oh, but you can. Go ahead and say, I will. That is the Luciferian doctrine of individualism. We read in the last sentence of the book of Judges, in those days Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. Many, many Christians are living according to I will plans instead of following the way of Christ, who was submitted to the will and the purposes of God. What did Jesus pray in the garden? Not my will, but yours be done. Amen. Young people, when you are looking at what high school to go to prepare for college, when you are in high school and you are looking at what college to go to, you need to be praying, not my will, but yours be done. Yeah. You see, Satan would love for you to be extraordinarily successful and to get one opportunity after another that so captured your heart, your attention, and the ambition of your life. And thus, you miss the plan that God had for you. You and I can never say, I will, without saying, not my will, but your will be done, preceding it. Only then can you and I say, I will. As Jesus, I will go to the cross because I know the Father's will. Or like the Apostle Paul, I will go to places that haven't heard about Jesus because I know God's will for me. Not my will must always precede, I will. Amen. And in accordance with Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient to the will of the Father, you and I as believers have no will. It's only his will. Yeah. Everything that we do needs to be, is this God's will for me?
Amen.
Never, this is what is best for me. Yeah. Everything that we do should be in connection with one another, for we are the body of Christ. No matter how you look at it through the New Testament, for us as believers, there's no place for I will or I won't. We need to follow the will of Jesus.
Amen.
And as the Apostle John reminds us, the commands of God are not burdensome. Oh, Israel never learned this one simple truth, that in all the commands of God for them, there was absolute safety and protection. It didn't matter what it was. It might be the process of cleansing your house from mildew. It might be the commands not to do this and not to do that, but there was absolute safety. There was personal safety, health safety, and safety for their souls. In following the way of Jesus Christ, there is absolute safety for our souls.
Amen.
That's what's at stake. And whenever you and I let our hearts wander, or we don't keep our focus on the Lord, we let the passion die and subside in our hearts, we're in danger. There is absolute safety. There is fullness of blessing. There is fruitfulness that brings honor and glory to the Lord when we live, not my will, but yours be done.
Amen.
So what must we do? If we are not going to be the church according to Judges, if we are not going to be history repeating itself in failure, what must we do? First of all, we must repent. That is always the first word that Jesus has to speak to us. Repent. When he came preaching, his first word, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When he came to the churches in Revelation, repent. Repent needs to be the daily posture of every believer's heart. Have we said anything this morning? Did you check anything as no on your little worksheet this morning? We need to repent.
Yes.
A second thing that you and I need to do, begin doing what you didn't do last week. Take a look at that worksheet. Take a look at those things. I did not put anything down there that is not in God's Word, that it's not God's will for you. Everything there are ways that you can live according to the will and the purposes of God for his people.
Yes.
So if you didn't do them, start doing them this week.
Amen.
Let's not be hearers of the word, but not doers. Let's put into practice the truth of God's word. Thirdly, commit yourself to the biblical model of generational mentoring to ensure the future of the church and its mission. Now, let me say just a couple of words of definition about this. You've already grasped this concept in weeks past as we've talked about teaching others, as we've looked at the different aspects of Israel, the commands that God gave them, their failure. Let me put it into context for us. According to the Word of God, in passages like 1 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, every man in church, if you're a man, raise your hand. Every man in church should be aspiring to be a deacon. Wives, you should be aspiring to meet the standard in 1 Timothy 3 for a deacon's wife. Every man should be aspiring. As Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, to be a reliable man who could be entrusted with the truth of the gospel, who then in turn teaches it to the next one, so that there is continuity from generation to generation to generation about what it means to follow the purposes of God and be the church that remains true. Amen. But when we get too busy to pursue God's design and plan, then things begin to fall apart. And that is why generation after generation after generation, the world remains unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we fail to pursue the model that God has for us. Read those passages of Scripture and understand. That is how God ensures the continuity of the church. That is His mechanism of sustainability from generation to generation. Those who teach others, those who mentor and model, those who lead, so that the purposes of God continue to be fulfilled. And finally, parents, you must disciple your children to be effective in spiritual warfare. You and I cannot relax. We cannot lose our sense of urgency. We cannot set aside our fight mode for some other ambition, because the enemy goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. His fiery darts are constant. He is always on the warfare agenda, always seeking. Woe to the earth, the scripture says, because the devil has come down in a fury. He is always in the mode of waging war against the saints. Teach your children to be effective in spiritual warfare. Amen. If you need help, come see me. But don't fail in this task. Amen. Or you're setting them up for spiritual failure. And disciple them to be committed to taking the gospel to the nations. That is what Jesus has commanded us to do. Amen. And that is where our greatest obedience to Him will earn His commendation. Let's be faithful to Him. Yes. We don't want to be a church according to Judges. We want to be a church according to Acts. Do you know that there's not one good story in Judges? There's wonderful stories of what people did, how God used them. But there's never one good story that does not have something that went wrong, even in the midst of what was good. We don't want to be that kind of church. We want to be a faithful church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
So, Father, we look to You.
Yes.
You have called us You have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. You have rescued us from the dominion of darkness. You have made us a people, a holy nation, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, set apart to declare the praises of Him who has called us into His light. Father, we pray that we will not fall short of the purposes that You have ordained for us. We pray that You will give us a sense of urgency.
Yes.
We pray that You will give us hearts filled with Your sacrificial love.
Yes, Lord.
Hearts that want to fulfill Your heart of love for all the world. Father, we pray that we will not be caught sleeping or unaware when You say to Your Son, now is the time. But may we be faithful servants who, when You come, You find us doing all that You commanded us to do. You find us out among the harvest. You find us living for Your purposes.
Amen.
Father, have mercy on us and help us. For the church has lost its testimony.
Yes, indeed.
And we are the church.
Yes.
Send Your Spirit to stir us and to revive us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.